capitalize on the Dulleses, the Bushes, and the elements I've spoken about. The German heavy industry was largely intact at the end of World War II. The Allies knocked out the German war-making capacity by eliminating transport, road and rail, and oil. And they did that by bombing the crap out of the Leuna refinery in East Germany. That facility was the major focal point of the CDU funding scandal that I've spoken about, and the Thyssen Group and ELF Aquitaine were the major element, major participants in that, and I spoke about that in For the Record programs 276 and 178. The Leuna refinery was the major German synthetic oil refinery in World War II, working for IG Farben. When it was bombed, the Germans were able to get it back up and running, but they had to cannibalize so much technology from their other synthetic oil refineries that it basically knocked out German oil production by 80%, thereby neutralizing their war effort, but yet protecting their heavy industrial plant, largely invested in by the U.S. for post-war use. There is a book that I suspect is not actually fiction, but it could only be published as a novel. It was made into a major motion picture starring Marlon Brando, George C. Scott, and others. It's called The Formula, based on a novel by Steve Shagan. What it's about, it takes place during the closing days of World War II. It's about the Nazis developing a catalyst. The formula alludes to a catalyst. The formula for a catalyst that would make the hydrogenation process sufficiently efficient in order to compete and even outstrip the price of naturally produced petroleum. Now, this supposedly is a novel, and basically what happens is an SS officer goes to the Allies at the end of World War II with this formula, and we never know exactly what happens. In the movie, a whole bunch of people get killed as they begin approaching the trail of the formula, and George C. Scott's tracking it down, and everybody gets killed. And then ultimately, I've only seen most of the movie, not all of it. At the end, he meets that you recognize the same SS guy, only this time he's in civilian clothes, he's greatly aged, and he's meeting at the Brandenburg Gate at the entrance to East Germany, and he goes back inside. I suspect, and this is a hunch, I suspect that the formula is in fact a reality. For one thing, we know that the development of the hydrogenation process to produce synthetic oil was of sufficient concern to Standard Oil in the 1920s that they made IG its second largest stockholder. And it was the focal point of a major cartel agreement in 1929. We know that Nazi Germany relied largely on hydrogenation process produced oil. That's redundant, but can't win them all. No, actually it isn't. To produce their petroleum. And we also know that making that process more efficient would have been a top priority item to the Germans in World War II. If they would have developed a formula for a catalyst to make that process not only competitive with, but more efficient, thereby cheaper than naturally produced oil, it would have threatened the very foundation of the entire industrial economy worldwide, namely petroleum. And what we're asked to believe is that no such formula was ever developed, whereas logic would dictate, with that having been arguably the top research and development priority of Nazi Germany, and with that technology being perhaps of greater interest than any of the B-2s, the Project Paperclip technology that we know the U.S. bargained for at the end of the war, with that formula not only holding the key to control of the Western industrial economy, but also the former Soviet Union, which was dependent on oil for its survival, and of the Middle Eastern countries, who were certainly not at all hostile to Nazi Germany, I suspect that the formula is in fact fact. That in fact such a formula was developed, and it has been held in abeyance until all of the naturally occurring petroleum has been pumped out of the ground at top dollar, at which point we will be given synthetic oil rather than alternative energy sources. I suspect that the formula is fact. We know that the Standard IG agreement took place if my hunch about the book The Formula and about just such a formula having been perfected, if my hunch is accurate, and I bet on it if there are a way of verifying it, and of course there isn't, I'd set a New World's indoor record for death if I had access to that information, then that would have given the Bormann Group, the Underground Reich, the keys to the kingdom all the way around, because they could have used that formula to exert political leverage on the entire world, including the former Soviet Union, which was dependent on oil. So I suspect that ultimately the high cards in this very unsavory game are being held by the Underground Reich, and I suspect that the petroleum producers, whether in the Middle East, the Bin Ladens depended on petroleum for their construction business, the Bushes, the Bakers, and all the rest, I suspect that the keys to the kingdom are in fact held by IG Farben and the Underground Reich. There is a lot more to 9-1-1 than what I've spoken about here. We should not lose sight of what's come out of this. They're basically, we have now the Homeland Security Office, which is a very interesting title, not domestic security, but Homeland. They might as well have called it the Fatherland Security Office.
Very Orwellian.
Well, it's very Orwellian. It's more Hitlerian, actually. The infractions on civil liberties that are taking place as a result of this are going to be very, very interesting indeed. The terrorists can now be held indefinitely. We don't know who's being held or what charges are lodged against them. It's not to say that I hold a brief for al-Qaeda in this country. Again, I'd like to see Osama bin Laden's head on a stick along with those of his cohorts, and that would include the Bush family. I would not hold your breath. This should not be misunderstood as making a terrorist threat against the Bush family. I would never do such a thing. I would prostrate myself 5 times a day in the direction of Mecca, not to be disrespectful of the Islamic faith. But yes, I would like to see this entire milieu liquidated, and that would include Osama bin Laden. I think the son of a bitch should be killed, and I think his lieutenants should be killed. But remember that Osama bin Laden is a bit player. I don't believe that he is really very important at all, and I think that the Underground Reich pulling the strings of these Islamic fundamentalists, these Islamo-fascists, will continue to generate his replacements. And bear in mind all of the business connections that exist between the milieu of Osama bin Laden, his father Mohammed, Ibn Saud, going all the way back to Allen Dulles, Jack Philby, the Bush family, and all in this whole group, von Bolschwing, the Grand Mufti, the World Muslim Congress, the Saudi royal family, and remember the incredible maneuvering around 9-1-1. It's going to be very interesting to see how much of our democracy survives. Karl Rove has met with Hollywood producers to get Hollywood behind the war effort, so we're not going to have a cultural ministry in effect. And now an executive order has been issued that will enable secret military tribunals for trying the terrorists. Who are the terrorists? I mean, since the anthrax attacks appear to be the result of domestic terrorists, that same law could be broadened to the United States. The San Jose Mercury, hardly a clarion of American journalistic integrity or a diehard defender of civil liberties, in one of their editorials last week said, why not just take people straight out and put them in front of a firing squad? They were being sarcastic. If this had been the Wall Street Journal, I would have been a serious proposal. But they were being sarcastic. They were pointing out what a tremendous infringement on the basic process of American jurisprudence this was. William Sapphire, a former speechwriter for Richard Nixon, and again, not somebody that is going to be confused with a charter member of the ACLU, William Sapphire noted in a column in the New York Times that was then carried in the Chronicle, he said, basically, while nobody's looking, this president has basically placed the United States under martial law. Now, in effect, the United States is under martial law, because now our domestic judicial process has been set aside in favor of secret military tribunals. That is, in effect, a partial institution of martial law. Don't forget what happens in Serpent's Walk. Of course, we know that's just silly. The SS going underground, ha ha. Building up its economic muscle, how silly. Infiltrating the U.S. Army, nah. And then they buy into the American opinion-forming media. That's not true. Just ask Bertelsmann. And following a biological warfare attack on the United States, of course, we know that would never happen. The martial law is declared, how silly, and they take over. Shucks. We don't need to worry about that, do we? Well, not too many times, and bear in mind, who publishes that? The National Vanguard. That National Vanguard Books, that's the publishing arm of the National Alliance, the number one American contact group for the German NPD, their top German so-called neo-Nazi terror organization. And the organization with which Ahmed Ney Alfred Huber is associated. That's Alfred Huber of the board of directors of Al-Taqwa Management. By the way, Al-Taqwa, I don't know if I mentioned this at the beginning, it's Arabic for fear of God. It's one of the alleged funding sources for Al-Qaeda, also being investigated in connection with the stock market manipulation. Huber said it was just, although its benefactors are Saudi and Malaysian, wealthy Saudi and Malaysian people, that it's just basically for financing agricultural and industrial products in the third world. Right. It's basically a Panamanian shell company with branches in other countries. Just imagine this. Just imagine as an investment commercial, right? When Al-Taqwa, the fear of God, speaks, people listen. You know, that's what that means. A wonderful name. But bear in mind that National Vanguard Books is the publishing arm of the National Alliance, the top American liaison organization with NPD. One of whose top associates is Ahmed Ney Alfred Huber of the board of directors of Al-Taqwa, alleged funder of Al-Qaeda, alleged participant in the insider trading, and one of the people who was associated back in Nasser's Egypt with Johann von Mears, in charge of anti-Semitic propaganda for the Goebbels Propaganda Ministry, and in charge of Nasser's Institute for the Study of Zionism, and a good buddy of the Grand Mufti. So, that, in a nutshell, is tonight's installment of let's not forget that American media stocks, I forgot to mention, I mentioned at the very top of the talk, that American media stocks have been heavily depressed by the 9/11 attacks, thereby making them much more vulnerable for takeovers because they lost so much advertising media. Bertelsmann is rolling in dough. They have a $4.7 billion takeover chest. Now, even though their stock is depreciated with the global economic downturn, they in turn have no debt. They have absolutely no debt. Bertelsmann has no debt. And they're going to be getting up to $6.75 billion from the sale of AOL Europe, including up to $2.5 billion in cash. And they are going to continue to buy in the American opinion-forming media. And that is the Serpent's Walk scenario.
And they own Napster.
Well, they already own Napster. Bertelsmann, it controls Napster now, which is now getting licensed. Now, they already sunk into Napster. And that will also give them access to 38 million people online. So in any event, there is more to 9/11 that I've had a chance to delineate. I am the whole research into 9/11 is literally a work in progress. On the Internet, annotated descriptions for the record, 325 through 335 are available. Many of you have some copies of this. Some of you might want to look on, you know, sort of share with some of the other people. That, in a nutshell, is the conclusion to the lecture. It is not the whole story of 9/11. That is yet to be written. And among its authors are going to be each of you, because ultimately each of us is going to be on the receiving end of whatever the underground Reich has to deal, and I suspect that will be a very sharp reception, and which end I'll leave it to you to figure out. But just how this turns out ultimately is going to be determined in part by you, either by what you choose to do or what you choose not to do. And as the German college professor noted in They Thought They Were Free, that's all that was required for most of us, was to do nothing. I would suggest you do much more than that, and I would particularly recommend that those of you who know how to use computer technology in a sophisticated way, not only access the Internet, but for God's sake, as echoing the words of the Tom Hanks character, Captain Miller, at the end of Saving Private Ryan, you know, earn this, earn it. Because I'm sure as hell I'm not going to be awarded the Knight's Cross by the Underground Reich for doing what I do. I do it basically, I've done this because I've seen this coming for a long, long time, and I wanted to do what I could do to try to prevent it. If there is a cause for optimism, it is perhaps that with computer technology, we have the ability to do a hell of a lot more communicating than we ever could. I have done everything in my power to put as much information available for communication. Every description through 335, for the record 335, which I recorded last Sunday, is now on the web. That's there, and there are three websites in which you can hear, actually a lot of websites in which you can listen to the programming. Spitfire at www.spitfirelist.com has real audio. You can listen to KKUP. The instructions for their website at www.kkup.com. That's K as in kangaroo, K as in kangaroo, U as in university, P as in professor, .com. And that's not what the audio web address is. You can get that. WFMU.org/Dave Emery is archiving Before the Record programs, streaming on Wheel Audio. And there's a related web address, http://archive.wfmu.org/archive/B#X/, which has a link, thank God, on the Spitfire and WFMU websites. And the vast majority of Before the Record programs are now available. The ones that aren't streaming are now available for download. There are some of them that aren't there. The bulk of them are, but I've recorded 335 to date. And the vast bulk of those are now on the web. The descriptions are on the web. I've been annotating them since June of 2000. And if you know how to use computers, download that to as many people as possible. For Christ's sake, don't be worried. Well, we're in paranoia. You don't even worry about it. You're going to be dead anyway, man. And none of us is getting off of this world alive anyway. And the bottom line is, basically, there's an old expression, basically, it's better to die on your feet than to live on your knees. There's something to be said for that. And I'm not advocating sedition or revolution or anything else. What I'm advocating is citizenship, that you use the resources available to you to try to preserve what is left of the civil liberties of the country that most of us, I assume, take for granted, or at the very least would like to see preserved. Because, boy, if it was ever, it's never been later than it is now, and it's getting later by the minute. And I would suggest that you do what you can, because I've done what I can to lay out the story, only part of which has been laid out this evening. And again, the name of the term, the name of the lecture is Networking, the Politics of the Elders of Boyle. So thanks for the time.